Chant It Down Radio's coming to you live from the Hawaiian Islands, coming from the perspective of complete freedom, coming from wisdom outside the system and then some. This is the mouthpiece of the natural earth forgotten. At this point in time, humanity's been kept from the truth, so Chant It Down Radio offers the coordinates to a path out.
You're searching for something whole, 'cause what you see, real life. You're watching this world unfold, the truth beneath the lies. Rekindling what's been stole, the need to free one's mind. Uncover the truth exposed, so people see the light.
Let's chant it down, so we can know. It's simple, we just break it down a little bit, so we can process all. Make the switch and elevate yourself to conscious mode. And it's beneficial, we can get this concept rolling. Get the future generators wanna start the whole thing. With the message demonstrated, we can start a post. Taking in, assimilating, getting lots of numbers. Waking up the population, try to stop hypnosis.
Welcome to Chant It Down Radio, where we deprogram from the deep program so we can free ourselves and be ourselves. This is episode 126 of Chant It Down Radio, and this is part 12 of the Beyond Earth series, in which I cover the extraterrestrial and UFO phenomenon. My guest today is Truth Seeker, and so I like to bring a lot of unique pieces to the table and string it together if we can, and this would be my first guest into this series of shows. And if you don't know what I mean by this series of shows, I do many, many series of shows on this show. So if you want to go to the website, thechantitdownradio.com, you'll find the series of shows page. And I have a lot of new listeners. So, for example, if you want to learn into the topic of media mind control, then go to the Tell, Lie, Vision, Vision series of shows. Or if you want to learn into chemtrails, go to the Real Skyfall series of shows. Or you want to go into solutions like the Journey Home series, check that out. Or this, UFOs and Extraterrestrials. So that's what we're getting into today with Truth Seeker. I am a one-man show, so I work more than a full-time job. Radio has to be that side thing. And I don't Facebook. I rarely post on YouTube. I try to be as professional as possible with a limited time and money scenario. So support the show and understand that when I do this show, it's in the very increments of small time that I have to do it. And if I could do more, I would do more. But just be thankful for what I can bring out. And if you want to help support the show, please go to the website and do so. It helps me. A little support goes a long ways. So anyway, enjoy Truth Seeker, and I'll talk to you on the other side. In a world where we've been kept from many truths, I think it takes many voices to unravel the mysteries of the universe and to explore in many eclectic ways all this information so we can put it on the table and take a look. That's why today I brought on Truth Seeker. Truth Seeker is a hip-hop artist whose knowledge about esoteric and spiritual subjects are infused throughout the medium of his music and lyricism. In his music, Truth Seeker pioneers a new sound with rhythmic, mystic hip-hop beats. His music is the embodiment of his own spiritual encounters and supernatural experiences. He's also a radio show host for the Truth Seeker podcast that dives into the deep study of ufology, spirituality, and a wide variety of other esoteric matters. Welcome to Chant It Down Radio, Truth Seeker.
Thanks for having me, man. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So how did you get into hip-hop, and how did you gain the name Truth Seeker? How did Truth Seeker become Truth Seeker?
Well, always been into music my whole life, like, you know, really big into it. But as far as like starting to rap or whatever, I've always like been really good at learning, other people's music, like in the 90s. And, you know, when people would get together to freestyle and hang out and stuff, I would just recite other people's verses, but I would do it really good. So, you know, and it sounds like I wrote it, and it would help if somebody didn't even know the artist. So I would hit them with a verse they never heard of, but I didn't write anything. I was young at the time. But so I just got, you know, really good at imitating, you know, the rappers and stuff that I heard, to be able to do their voices, their inflection and stuff like that. Maybe even doing, you know, voices of characters on TV and stuff like that. So I'm really good at, you know, changing my voice and mimicking and stuff. So over the years, as far as like when I first started out trying to find my own voice in the midst of imitating everyone else, that was kind of a hard thing to do as well, and which took me years to really learn my own voice. I would do songs and sound like early Master P type music, and then other stuff I'd sound like C Murder, or try to experiment and sound like Little Boosie or Get Crunk, and I would just sound like all these other people. But eventually, over the years, albums later, I really found my own voice and my own vocal tone, and becoming comfortable with that. So started rapping probably 03, maybe. Started in a gospel hip-hop group, going to churches throughout the week and in the hoods and ghettos and stuff like that, doing you know, 3-4 shows a week, and I was kind of learning the ropes with those guys, doing backup, and then started writing my own music. Put out my first CD, 2006. It was a Christian rap CD entitled Fight Music, and had 20 songs on it. And it was like down south gangster Christian rap, if that's a thing, but as far as stylistically goes. So started, you know, doing that and putting out music, and it started to really just be a soundtrack for my spirituality, my spiritual awakening, the things I was studying. And just as the music, my spirituality began to evolve, the music evolved with it. Got into politics and things like that, researching the Illuminati. And so that stuff started getting into my music, political stuff, Alex Jones. Then kind of graduating on past that into some more of the spirituality and spiritual topics that I embody in my music now. So that's kind of where that came from. Just as my Christianity and my religion began to expand, so did the music. So I picked the name True Seeker back in 2003 when I first started, just off of a whim. Mm-hmm. With some friends. Everybody had these really cool names, and I had to pick a name. So it was just off of a whim. Picked it. It resonated with me, and then eventually I kind of grew into the name, you know, the Truth Seeker, or whatever the case is. So, yeah, that's kind of my music and how I got into rapping and stuff in a nutshell.
That's cool. Yeah. I know the journey, and the journey took me through the same sort of path, too, where I went from kind of rhyming like everybody else, and then all of a sudden conscious things started to come. Well, with the help of psychedelic medicines, it helped boost me kind of past the ego part of hip-hop, which I was starting to disagree with. And then I started to break off even from my own group at the time and just make and chart a journey onto a CD that I did a long time ago now. But I know the journey, and the journey is you become your own after a while, and I really respect that, and I enjoy being able to say, to listen actually to any artist where you can kind of go through them on that journey. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of hilarious to look back at it now. I laugh at a lot of the early stuff, and then my rhyming schemes were really simple and stuff like that, but you know, for the time, you know, everybody enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it while I was there, you know, but to even look back and see the growth and say, okay, this is where I came from, and this is where I am now, so it's really cool just to have that catalog there, too.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you've been through the gauntlet, so to speak, with Christianity, as far as you've explored topics like UFOs, the occult, psychedelics, mysticism, global conspiracies, New Age. I mean, a lot of these things incorporated in your show. And one of the main topics I wanted to get into you with is ufology. But how did you get involved with these fringe topics where I would say most, let's say, church Christians would consider these concepts evil, crazy, or even satanic, and don't look at this? I mean, how did you break off and realize there's more to life than at least what a lot of the mainstream type Christians would be thinking?
Yeah, you know, it's just my story, man. You know, I came from that background. Like, when I was a teenager, I was really big into the occult and the dark arts and stuff like that. And had a really life-changing encounter when I essentially got possessed by demons, man, of Whoa. From doing witchcraft and spells and all that kind of stuff, and opened up my mind to some really crazy stuff out of this world. And so got possessed and ended up going back to church, and where I had this encounter with God, and pretty much got healed, you know, calling upon the name of Jesus. And so I had this story. So here I am in the church, and then I've experienced demonic possession. I've experienced, you know, casting spells, tarot cards, all that kind of stuff. So I would travel to churches and do Christian hip hop, and I would share my story. And, you know, people who were going through that stuff really loved it. Like people who have had experiences or people who were intrigued with it, they love to hear those stories. But really, even early on, from the Christian majority, as far as the leaders and stuff, they were really picky about what they wanted you to share. And they would ask me not to talk about demons so much, and don't talk about that. So, which, you know, I had this weird resistance early on, even talking about some of that stuff. But just going through the experiences, man, as far as, like, I had a reference point from what is darkness to what is the light, the life that I'm living now, walking in the light of Christ versus casting spells and communicating with demons and things. So there's a contrast there. Began to just be vocal about my story. And, you know, eventually over the years, just going deeper in my studies and my research of the Bible, of books that were taken out of the Bible, it would just begin to lead to other books like the Book of Enoch, the Testament of Solomon, and it gave me a better understanding of the scriptures to understand that, look, this book is a bunch of books. It's not complete. And there were other books that were taken out, and then there were books and ideologies and understandings that the ancient prophets and Jesus and Paul, all these guys understood. And so to have a from context, you need to know these books that were taken out. So I fell in love with those books, reading all of that stuff, and it just gave me a better understanding of the scriptures, and just kind of took my experiences further of looking into some of the spirituality in the Bible, some of the stuff that we would call occult or satanic, or, I mean, the different spiritual abilities even that are mentioned all throughout the Bible, like, you know, ESP and telekinesis, pyrokinesis, communicating with angels, talking to God and angels through the dream state, leaving the body through astral travel. Like, all of this stuff is in the Bible, astrology, astrotheology, right. And it's not condemning it like we've been told in the church. It's actually speaking, you know, positively about it. And so coming to that understanding, man, it really took my spirituality and my experiences a lot deeper when it came to trying to communicate with angels. So I'm like, well, if they did it, then we can do it. So, man, it just opened up so many doors, and just, you know, started having all these encounters that were otherworldly and really freaked me out early on, because there's no frame of reference in the church,
right,
to this kind of stuff. I have nobody to talk to. They're going to tell you to stay away from it. Don't tell anybody else about this. Maybe this is the devil. So that whole thing was really hard, you know?
Right. Yeah. I can see that. I mean, there is a very limited window that people are looking through in any mainstream religion, really. What are your thoughts about the Sumerian tablets and the Anunnaki? I mean, it seems to me that the Book of Genesis is just echoes of earlier accounts, such as the similarities of Adam and Adamu, or they call it Adapa, I think, or the Garden of Eden and Eden in the Sumerian word for the flat terrain between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, or the seven tablets of creation in the Unuma Elish versus the 7 days of creation, you know, or Adam's rib versus taking the DNA from Adamu to make, I think it's Tiamat. But I mean, what is your take on those stories, which are seemingly older? How does that fit into Genesis to you?
Yeah, to me, I mean, just getting into that as a Christian, right? As someone who just kind of just takes the Bible for face value and right. accepts it as truth or whatever, you know, it's really taboo for people to be researching that. But I mean, early on, when I got into ufology, it was starting out just, you know, researching all the Christian people who have put out material on it. So they were all like biased and they all had an agenda and things like that. So I think Ufology was just kind of like the gateway to start researching, obviously, the Anunnaki and, the Nephilim and stuff like that. And they came from outer space. They came from the heavens. And so began to do my research there. And then it led to, some of the work of Zachariah Sitchin and the 12th planet and all that kind of stuff. And seeing how it fits and stuff. And so there's a guy by the name of Michael Heiser, who he actually has a website called SitchinIsWrong.com. Right. Yep. It's pretty bold. But, I really think that the truth there between Heiser's work and Sitchin's work, I really think the truth is somewhere in the middle.
I agree.
Heiser brings to the table about the divine council of the Elohim, and that there were these beings who were essentially like angelic beings or gods who were lesser gods under Yahweh or under the divine creator, whatever name you want to give them, that ruled over these different parts of the earth. And so that God established that, and then they began to receive worship for themselves, and they began to mess with mankind and do all types of things that the divine creator kind of went outside of his will. And even we're talking about Sitchin and all these other books, it kind of echoes something very similar. So there's definitely something to that. You know, my belief is that, you know, we're talking about the UFOs and the angelic messengers and stuff. You know, to me, they are the Elohim. They are the seraphim, the cherubim mentioned throughout the scriptures and things like that. As far as which one is right, there comes this innate understanding of wanting to get to the bottom and find the right one. So we're seeing which text is older. Obviously, the oldest text is probably going to be the right one. So we're studying, we're watching videos, we're watching other videos that's going to contradict it, and other videos is going to bring up questions about you, what you believe, and then you're going to watch another video that's going to undo a year's worth of research that you've been doing off of one video, or your entire Christianity is undone off of one video. So you're going back and forth and doing this research, and it, obviously the name Truth Seeker, I want to get to the bottom of it. And it's just this cycle of studying, trying to be right and figure out which one's the right one. And, but I think if we just get a picture of kind of what's going on, you want to change the names and the labels and stuff like that, it really doesn't matter to me. But, it's something along those lines of a creator God that has these other gods under them that, you know, it's God's hand in the earth that interact with mankind, whether it was Adam taking out his rib or they came down and messed with our DNA, something along those lines. I'm okay with any of it. You know what I'm saying? All of it gets very similar. All of these creation stories are similar, you know, so it doesn't like undo my belief. And I'm not negating the fact that or saying that it's all lies. I mean, most Christians will say, oh, it's all lies. It's made up. It's demonic. The devil put it here to throw you off and all of these weird blanket statements. But I'm interested in it all. But there comes a time where, like, with all the study and all the research, you have to kind of put it aside to really practice what you're studying. You know, whether you're trying to be a historian or get to the bottom of it, or what's the right way? Is it Christianity? Is it Islam? Is it Hinduism? Is it just spirituality? What is it? And it comes down to just practicing it, man. You know, and just being the embodiment of what these sacred texts and holy books we're talking about, you know what I'm saying, loving people, spiritualities littered through every single one of them, you know, and there's these similar things there. So as far as my studying and figuring through what is right, Santos Bonacci really opened the door for me to explore syncretism and to study these religions and these texts and things like that to figure out what makes us the same versus what separates us. So Christianity has always told me that you are a peculiar people. There's no one like you. We have the only truth and all that kind of stuff, right? These other religions are telling each other the same thing. We're right. Christianity is false. It's a knockoff of this. It's a plagiarism of that, you know, all of this kind of stuff. But really to study it all and see how it all fits together. And I really think it does. So I study syncretism and, I study syncretism. I study all religions, but as far as like a spiritual practice, you know, found God through Christianity, through Jesus, and so that's my framework. You know, that's my foundation, and I build everything on top of that. You know.
Yeah. No. That's good. I have a hard time figuring it out myself. I mean, there is nobody with the answer of all this, but like you say, getting to the bottom of all this, it's always a quest of mine too, because as far as ufology goes, whether it's the ancient past or what's happening right now, there is so many charlatans and misleading people, or even people that have good intentions, but they've been kind of just going off on their own little fantasies. And, you know, I'm really having a hard time with it myself. I want to get to the bottom of it, and I look at it all. I put it all on the table, and I take strands, and I can only know what I can know. With you, I mean, had you had some UFO experiences yourself that kind of concreted some of this, made this like a real reality to you?
Yeah, I've had a bunch, man, and you know, I wrote them down when I was having them, because, like you're saying, like, you know, the analytical brain wants to kind of explain this stuff away and say, oh, well, it wasn't that. Maybe it was a flock of seagulls and all of this kind of stuff. But you watch a video that looks similar to what you saw, and you're like, ah, okay, that's what I saw. It was just insects in night vision goggles or something. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the case is. But yeah, man, I've had some beautiful encounters that made me believe that I was on the right path, and interaction with these ships and with these beings, if you will, plasma ships or things outside of our atmosphere, that are alive and that are telepathically communicating with us. And as far as my religion and my research goes, you know, these are the Elohim that I've made contact with. Most of it was through prayer and fasting and sitting under the stars for hours and hours in prayer, asking God, more like begging God, to let me see what the hell is going on out there. You know, if there's any of them that are passing by that have our best interest in mind, that's not going to try to abduct me. And you know, I don't want to see a demon flying around or whatever, you know, because you have all of these fear that you have to undo from all the movies that we've seen in our childhood and all the Christian stuff I've been led to believe in. Approaching that like a child, man, you know, childlike faith, and returning back to that, I ended up having some really beautiful encounters. Most of it was just seeing lights appear in the sky that would just do weird aerial maneuvers, and a lot of times it was like they would respond whenever you acknowledged in your mind that, oh, there they are, and then they would take off and do and stop on a dime or fly into a star or whatever. And I was just night after night after night where my mind was just being blown. And yeah, I was just having some beautiful encounters, and then it turned into, you know, having some telepathic communication, or I would see them, and then a thought would pop in my mind, and then it would happen, or they would say, hey, look right here. And I would look, and there they were, like, really interesting stuff. So I tried to take that a little bit further through meditation and trying to contact them through meditation. And that's what I was doing during the stargazing and stuff, too. So I would receive messages. You know, none of it was like, you know, anything out of this world crazy. Honestly, most of the messages I was getting was, you know, about love and respect and, you know, take care of your body. And if you want to move forward with this, you need to, honestly, they said you need to quit eating meat and meditate more, and we can go further. And the funny thing is ever since I received that message, it's been a struggle to stop eating meat, you know. It's like the thing. It's kind of interesting. But, man, I've had some beautiful encounters, just enough to let me know, like, hey, something's going on, and I have a piece of it. I can't sit there and tell you exactly what it is. I have my ideas and what I believe and what's working in my theology. I interview all these people, you know, who claim to have it figured out, and people who may be charlatans, people who are making it up in their mind, people who are it up to sell a book. I mean, you know, you're right. So there's all of this weird stuff that we have to wade through in the midst of it all. And then even the people that we did believe in, you know, David Wilcock and those guys, like, now, you know, seeing who they're backing and promoting, it's like, man, these people are in it for the money, and they're just kind of running with this narrative. And maybe they were legit at one point, but now they're just muddying the waters. How much of what they have been sharing with us has been legit, and how much has been stolen from either Eastern mysticism or, you know what I'm saying, anime and Star Wars and things like that. So in the midst of it, there's a whole bunch of questions that we still have. And I really question people, even the ones who come on my show who claim to have it all figured out and they can tell you exactly who these beings are, how to contact them. Cause I've had so many crazy encounters, man. And then but I'm still left with more questions at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There are some people that say things like, oh, well, this world's being run by the reptilian, the dragon, what is it? Dragon reptilian? The Draco, yeah, the Draco reptilians, or, you know, it's them and the Greys partnering. I'm like, well, how do you know exactly? It's like, yeah, I want to know that too, and I put it on the back burner, and I think, yeah, that is a possibility. Definitely, we are being held from the truth. Definitely, there's more out there, but like you say, there is. Your encounters have been mostly are benevolent, it seems. And that would be mine as well. I haven't really, you know, maybe it's just I'm not trying to get involved with these evil things. But then even if you look at the Travis Walton story when he got abducted,
yeah,
and then they made that movie Fire in the Sky, it was scary. But if you listen,
yeah,
to Travis Walton talk about it, he's talking about, well, yeah, he went too close to the ship. He got hurt, injured. They repaired him. They brought him back. And they didn't necessarily, like, you know, operate on him in like a negative way. It was a different depiction that Hollywood took. So Hollywood likes to take the scary aspect, and I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I went to East Seti Ranch. My friend was a caretaker there. That's up in Washington State, and I saw these plasma-like ships, and I really didn't get any bad vibes off them. I mean, I can only go by the vibe of things, but
yeah,
I didn't get anything, but just like, well, these must be benevolent, I guess. You know, I didn't even get that, really. It was just like, wow, that's amazing. But they had a consciousness, so I felt the consciousness of them, and it seemed like it was good. And everybody was talking about, like you say, the intentions. It's like they knew our intentions, and they came because we were believing, and there they were, and it was pretty amazing. Yeah, but. Yeah, so the evil entities, and then there's these people that have it all worked out. And another thing I have a hard time with is top-down disclosure, that we're going to get, the government's going to be, like, letting us know all this information, you know. And that's what some of these guys, like you mentioned, David Wilcock and stuff, are saying. And I can't buy it. I just can't buy it because and even what they've said already just hasn't happened, all these indictments and everything. I think they're just really going out on a limb selling books. So it's left up to us as just regular grassroots researchers to try to get the answers. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you have to look at it like this though, because, like, you know, once you really do get to the bottom of something, or maybe I do have some type of contact that just really changes things for me and makes everything make sense, you know, and I'll come out with a book on it or start doing lectures in circles and stuff as an expert or whatever, then people are going to be calling BS and say, well, I heard him on a podcast here saying he has no idea what's going on and he doesn't know. And then he's been, you know, even what they've said about Corey Good, you know, coming out now, I don't believe Corey Good at all, but, you know, they were pulling his records and saying he was on the Project Avalon forums researching all this stuff for years and kind of collaborating his story before he came forth and stuff. So, you know, we encourage men to seek after the truth, but crucify them once they claim that they found it, you know, and that always comes with the territory. I mean, it definitely happens within your own circle and in your own community. But, you know, that's something that's going to come with it as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to come with it as well. But we can only, I mean, I just try to look at everybody and give them the benefit of the doubt, and if it rings true, cool. If not, I just got to move on. But it's a really hard subject to research, but you just have to have a good grounding.
Yeah, and again, like I said, you know, this is something that I believe now, maybe it, I'm assuming it always has, but it has repeatability. And that was one thing we mentioned, that Terrence McKenna, the psychonaut, says that, you know, the one thing that us here in the psychedelic community have that you in ufology don't have is repeatability. He's like, we can take mushrooms and LSD and we can meet with the machine elves and we can talk with the beings in the fifth dimension whenever we want, and you in ufology don't. And back then it was like, yeah, you're right. But now we have the CE5 initiative, and you're talking about, you know, the stuff that James Gilliland's doing at ESETI, which really helped me out, you know, early on, and even Stephen Greer's stuff too. And all, everybody has opinions on these people, but I know early on their stuff really helped me, and to really go out and engage and have my own encounters. So I really do believe in the CE5 initiative. We've done it with groups of people and had beautiful encounters. We've done it with groups of people and haven't seen anything, you know. So but it does beckon us to go out and have our own encounters and learn for ourselves, because like you're saying, you know, disclosure is not going to come from the government. No. Disclosure is going to come from above, by people going out and having their own encounters. But then again, for me, like, it opens up more questions even still, because there's so much footage and stuff of, like, UFOs or some type of objects coming into the Earth's atmosphere, and plasma missiles or beams being shot up from the Earth trying to knock these things out of the sky.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm always saying, it's kind of, you know, as a joke, but wouldn't it be something that you summoned a UFO, and that was the what we would coin, summoning UFOs. And if you summoned a UFO, if you summoned an angel that appeared and a disc popped up and it's communicating with you, what is the karma that you summoned it in the U.S. Navy shoots it out of the air, you know, and you know, captures the entity or what? Wouldn't that be some bad karma to pay for you going out trying to make contact with these beings?
Yeah, I would hope that they'd be more intelligent than that to get in that situation, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's some footage, you know, and and of these craft being shot down and crashing and things like that. And one, you know, one of the encounters that I had where I did hear the telepathic communication is where I was driving through the country in Georgia, and I was driving my work truck, and it was a clear day, and I was I seen a jet flying through the air, and the telepathic communication came through and said, that jet is flying towards a UFO, one of us, and is going to try to scare us off. And so I looked at the direction that the jet was flying, and directly across the sky in its path, it literally was flying towards this silvered orb that was in the air. And as soon as I seen it, I said, oh, Lord, like, this is real. What happened? As soon as I acknowledged that it was there, it just blinked and it actually disappeared during the day. Wow. And it's like, wow, this is deep. You know, so all the theories and stuff about them being shot down, or these jets are going out there to scare them off so that people don't get them on camera, or whatever the case is, you know, it just opens up more questions. If we think about chemtrails, and it could be a clear day, but two or three jets go through the sky, and then there's cloud coverage where you don't get to see when these UFOs are coming in close, or making deliveries, or whatever they're doing, or testing this stuff out from the government. I don't know. But it opens up more questions, you know, about what's going on with, you know, us fighting against them. When it comes to the whole draconian thing and who's running the government, I really do kind of side with David Icke and those guys as far as the people who are running things are evil. Like, they don't have our best interest in mind. They're selling us fake food. They're, you know, doing all types of experiments on us, and we're like, man, most of the food that we're buying is imitation. Like, it's got wood in it and plastic. Yep. And these are supposed to be our leaders and stuff. And but if we look at that, and again, going back to the Bible, you know, it talks about how the seed of the serpent would fight against the seed of the woman. And then in the end, Christ or the, you know, the Messiah would crush his head. And when we talk about the serpent seed, now it doesn't have to be like, you know what I'm saying, literal, these are reptilians, they look like dragons or reptiles or whatever, I don't know, but just the serpent seed of the serpent that would be at war with the regular people of the earth, the seed of the woman. And so that's really what it seems like. And now we're hearing about, they're just now telling us about stuff that we've known about, if we've done any research, you know, Space Force.
Yeah.
There's an actual branch of the government now that you can sign up for that is to police outer space.
Yeah,
and protect against somebody out there.
Yeah.
I don't think the bad guys are out there. From all of my experiences and my study, my research, the bad guys are running the planet right now.
Absolutely.
That's my opinion.
Oh, definitely. I agree with you. I agree with David Icke, too. I've actually met David Icke before, and he seems like a genuine person. He put his research out. He wasn't afraid to go where it took him. Yeah, maybe mm-hmm. he doesn't have all the conclusions wrapped up in this one, you know, he doesn't maybe know everything, but he's going by what he found. And there definitely is an origin to this evil. There definitely is, you know, there is a point in which it's being run from something very evil and very unnatural, very unhuman, very unhumane. We're eating, like you say, junk food. We're getting sprayed by chemtrails. We're getting our water fluoridated. Everything is just anti-human. The way we're pushing technology with this 5G takeover,
yeah.
All this is just not. It's not from God. With the chemtrail spraying too, you mentioned as like a cover up. There are days mm-hmm. where they just completely cover the sky, and some days they kind of partially cover it. And I have wondered. I've done a lot of research and had a lot of guests on about this, but not particularly this, where I have wondered if they do just make a canopy to hide a fleet of UFOs that's, yeah, maybe making a delivery, maybe you know, who knows what, they're letting them into the atmosphere around here somewhere. I've wondered about that before, because I've actually heard of sightings where there was a opening in the sky between the chemtrails, and they would see all these lights, and then, you know, very, very well could be. It could be all that, because there is a definite cover-up of good and evil here, really. But it is being run by some kind of central force, definitely.
Yeah, I believe that's true, man. I really do believe that's going on. And I can't say for certain,
yeah.
You know. I kind of think I can. You know, because we're having this conversation, and it is the, you know, if people want to call it, you know what I'm saying, the downloaded information, like, this is what has been downloaded to me, this is what's been given to me. I don't know, you know, where I would have got that from or made it up. So I do believe people like David Icke and the New Age movement, they say that they have an insider. You know, David always talking about, I have an insider, I can't give any names, but an insider told me this, and I believe that the insiders he's talking about are these beings with, you know what I'm saying, the channeled information, whether he's, you know what I'm saying, channeling them or whatever. I mean, all of his early material was channeled and stuff as well. So, you know, I think that, you know, when we study spirituality and we study channeling, when we study feeling things in your body and empathy and things like that, being able to feel stuff, a lot of this stuff is second nature and you don't know where it comes from. You're able to feel the thoughts of other people and receive downloads, and someone can be, you know, having a bad day and just going through a traumatic experience, you can walk in the same room as that person and actually feel it. So when we're talking about these type of, you know, this type of spiritual phenomena, I really do believe that a lot of this stuff could be channeled, and it's even channeled through our conversations. It's channeled through the art and the creativity and things like that we're creating as well, whether it's through, you know, Hollywood, because that's the big question too. At the end of the day, does Hollywood know what's up? Because their stuff is full of occultism. It's full of, I mean, let's just use the Book of Enoch as an example. I mean, does, you know, did who is it? J.J. Abrams, I think it was, who did, or it was either him or Michael Bay, I get them mixed up, who you know, did the new Transformers movies. Like, the script for the first Transformer movie that came out is straight out of the Book of Enoch. So did he read Enoch and he you know, changed the names and made it modern? Or is that just a reoccurring story that just keeps happening? Maybe like an aspect of the hero's journey, right, these cycles, right, that just keep happening? Or was it channeled? Or did he, you know what I'm saying, meticulously read it? Do they know about these ancient paths and the hidden works? So that's a great question. You want to know, like, if God is the one, it's just happening naturally, or are these people in the know? Have they read these books? Are they members of the mystery schools and things like that, right?
Right. I mean, right. I think George Lucas might be in on it a little bit, whether he found out the truth some way or not. Even though Star Wars seems like fantasy, a lot of that, well, some of it came from the hero's journey, as we know, but like, just the way that he has some sort of insights. One of the moons of Saturn actually looks like the Death Star, and the way that they kind of channeled the what was his name, Darth Maul, in one of those, he looked like a reptilian. I mean, I don't know, but you know, there, and then there's so much occultism in Hollywood.
Yeah,
I really feel like they're using it against us more than anything. There's so much manipulation in today's media; it's crazy. I don't know, like, just everything you watch is just so strong with manipulation, and so I believe they do know the truth, and they're using it against us most of the time, and they're showing it. Also, they're showing us some of the truth, and then they're being like, ha, 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 that's just a make-believe story. And then so when people really talk about that, they go, oh, yeah, we saw that in a movie. You know, so it's like, I think they really do seep out the truth. Something came to mind. I was going to ask you, I kind of lost my train of thought. There was something I was going to say, but I guess I was going to say, well, I had one thought anyway. You were talking about Terrence McKenna a while back and some of the psychedelic realm. How has that helped you? Like, a lot of people would say, especially in Christianity, that, oh, that's bad. You could be summoning demons when you take mushrooms or LSD or something. Has it just helped you have your relationship with God, or is it... How has it helped you see the truth and so forth?
Yeah, as far as, you know, doing psilocybin mushrooms, I mean, just looking at, you know, where they come from, you don't have to mix anything. There's no sorcery involved. You don't have to heat nothing up. You don't have to boil it. You don't have to do anything, which could be, you know, said for LSD or maybe even ayahuasca, that you have to actually boil it, and or marijuana, that you have to, you know, burn it, and that's not the right way to ingest it. I mean, you know, just exploring that a little bit. Like, I've had friends who have partook of salvia extract. And they encounter these beings who tell them that I'm not to be smoked. And then you watch other video, and most of the time it's a pretty crazy encounter where they lose all functionality of their body and they get scared and can't breathe and all kind of crazy stuff like that. When you see other people who are using salvia, really, there's a video of Hamilton Morris that's really cool. I think he's in Mexico and he's eating the salvia leaves, chewing them, and he has this really beautiful, euphoric, very slow, intricate dance with the plant medicine. So anything that comes from nature, it's God, right? Yeah. Like God put here, it's in the molecular structure, in the DNA of that plant. So it opens up a lot more questions and doors even to these are, you're speaking with a spirit that is on that plant, that these plants they have an eye with people and you know, in the ancient culture, it wasn't a drug. It's looked at as medicine,
right.
And you don't abuse it. You know, you don't use it for fun, but you use it when you're sick. It's for the sick who need a doctor, and nature has the best prescription. Nature or God, even God is nature, and it's returning to the ancient path. So, my study and research was, as a Christian, it's like, oh, nope, I don't want to go down that road. I've done things like that have, you know, when I was a teenager and it wasn't good. I'm talking about being possessed by demons. I don't want to be in any realm where I don't have access to my mind, and something else is controlling it for however long. So that was just a fear. Yeah. And so, yeah, I didn't want to, you know, end up getting demon possessed again, but started listening to the Joe Rogan podcast and hearing people like Aubrey Marcus, Amber Lyon, and hearing their stories and these beautiful encounters that they had. And then looking at some of the research that has been done with from Amber Lyon, reset.me, and seeing how people were overcoming addictions, people were, you know, overcoming depression and all of these kind of things by partaking of psilocybin and or going on you know, ayahuasca journeys. So just doing a bunch of research, I felt like it ended up calling to me, and just kind of was very scared as well, because I didn't want that bad stuff to happen, which we've heard, and all of the bad trips and stuff like that. So anyway, doing just a bunch of research, just calling me. We ended up planning our own men's retreat, and we had some beautiful encounters. And so went out and did it in a sensory deprivation tank. We stayed the night at a facility a buddy of mine owns in New Orleans, and I had a beautiful encounter there. Then went out couple months later, took a really big dose in a men's retreat, but you know, approached it with love and some things we want to get right. We need to move forward and pick up some pieces and figure out what's going on. Had some other friend who was dealing with opiate addiction who wanted to lay that down. So we kind of approached it as a men's retreat, and a beautiful encounter, blew my mind, changed my life. And yeah, so that was beautiful, and it comes back to God. And so part of that fear of doing it is like, okay, God, you put this here, so I'm going to trust you. I feel like it's calling me, and you know, so I did it, and it was life changing, and experienced you know, otherworldly beings, which I call the golden teachers, which sat me down and spoke to me about my life and my past and moving forward and what I should do and things like that. And it imparted some things to me, and was real beautiful. And so I don't, like I said, I feel like it's for people who are sick. If you know, you need the medicine. But at the same time, there's a lot of research out there about microdosing, which I've partake in sometimes. So I do some podcasts, you know what I'm saying, while I'm microdosing and things like that. And it really helps you to just feel intuitive and with, you know, it really amplifies the emotions and helps you to be able to feel the music or the sound or the conversation, you know. And we always can hear it and we resonate when we feel it that way. But with psilocybin, it helps you to really feel the emotions of the person. So set and setting is like killer when it comes to that. You don't want to be listening to crazy music or being around a crazy crowd of people or whatever that you can't really control. That's why, you know, when you would approach that the right way, you have a shaman who is leading you and into a comfortable setting, playing some really soothing, beautiful music and things like that. So it really changed my life. And as a believer, I began to talk about it, and that was like kind of the big thing. There's been a couple big things that I've talked about as a Christian, you know. One was the Kundalini, being the Holy Spirit. That was a big one. And the magic mushroom thing. And that's one that, like, it's a game changer. It's like, okay, you're openly admitting and you don't feel like you're sinning and stuff. And so, but at the same time, that's kind of what helped grow the platform, is that I can talk about that stuff as a believer and still reconcile it to my faith and be okay, you know, and not just as permissible by God or the scriptures, but it's, you know, something that God ordained and he's put here for us if we need it, you know. And I don't think it's for everybody, but if it's calling you, then it's calling you, and you got no choice but to go out there and experience it.
Yeah, I don't think it's for everyone either. But I think it's very beneficial for certain individuals. It woke me up. I psilocybin mainly. I did do some LSD. I don't trust LSD myself because
I don't
either. It's coming from some chemist you don't even know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't trust it. I wouldn't do it anymore. But I had some pretty profound visions back in the day. I'm talking like late 90s and Psilocybin 2. And actually, it catapulted me into becoming more of a conscious person. Like I said earlier, when I was doing hip-hop music, I started to see all these egos in the scene, and I started to see it for what it was, and it wasn't exactly what I wanted, even though I love the music, I love the medium, I love to be able to flow through, you know, these channels and be this person. I started to want to grow away from the scene, and I think it was actually a really good thing, because everybody that was back in that scene is all dissolved anyway, but just the thing is, like, it really does, psychedelics really do bring you into more conscious awareness. And microdosing is something I haven't tried, but I'm curious to try it just because I think it could bring a lot of people on a better path if it's for them, you know. It's just hard to say for some people if they need it at all. Some people don't need it at all, but it's a medicine put on the earth, like you said. And I'm glad that you're able to incorporate that. It's interesting to hear from you because you were in within Christianity still able to incorporate that and these larger views and still have a solid concrete stance in what you believe in. I think that's pretty awesome, and you know, it's pretty honorable. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been like I said, it's been something that kind of, you know, sets me apart or whatever. It's not received or it's not welcomed by the majority, but there's a lot of other Christians who are waking up. They're listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. Let's just get over it. They are, you know, they're seeing all of this stuff on, it's all over Vice. It's all over everywhere. It's coming back. It's having a, you know what I'm saying? A resurgence, and for good reason. And so people are asking questions. And so why not, if you're a Christian who is asking those questions, why not listen to another Christian who has experienced that and how it reconciles with the faith or doesn't go against what you believe or whatever the case is. And so I've just kind of been, you know what I'm saying, diligent and sharing that and being open with it and committing to it, because it's a hell of a commitment to go live and to be on podcasts and be interviewed about that stuff. And then, you know, you're somebody in that realm. And so you have to forfeit a lot to really, you know, stand behind it. But I believe if it's the truth, you know, then the truth is going to speak for itself. It's going to fight for itself. And, you know, why would I hold that back from somebody that if it's calling them, like, it can, you know what I'm saying, really benefit them. And I look at it as something like, you know what I'm saying, like a life-changing encounter. Like my relationship with Christ, meeting Christ. I mean, when I got born again, man, we were silly with it. We had a zeal without knowledge, but I'm like yelling out the window at people, you know, Jesus loves you. We're picking up the, you know what I'm saying, the telephone in the department store and Walmart and getting on the loudspeaker and preaching and stuff, and like really believe that we had or we have what other people are looking for. And it's the same way with the psychedelics or with the psilocybin mushrooms. Like it's a life-changing encounter. And so for me, just to keep it to myself or be quiet because I believe in Jesus or whatever, you know, it's, I think I'm doing a disservice to people, you know. And at the same time, it reconciles both ways, because I can do that, and I feel the same way about, you know, doing it. We're talking about aliens and me not mentioning my faith. If I have something that people are looking for, with searching for knowledge for the sake of knowledge and trying to figure it out and trying to get it right, you know, I rub shoulders with people, whether they're experts or whether they're just they're searching. Like, I'm just letting you know what works for me. Like, this is what works. I've tried that. I've searched it. I've tasted this. Doesn't work. Leaves you thirsty. This relationship with God through Christ is what works for me, and it's here for you if you'd like to try it too. So I always have to, you know, make sure that I let people know about that, because knowledge for the sake of knowledge and really getting to the bottom of it, man, you know, I really believe that knowledge alone is vexation. It leaves you empty, man. We look at some of the people who we may maybe look up to in these fields, and we just see where they are, like spiritually or like emotionally or with their family, like what type of people are they, you know? And so a lot of these people I don't want to position my life after. Like, they don't have like spiritual fruit that I want to, you know, call my own, you know? And so, like I'm saying, so it's all about your spiritual connection with God and you know, just being open and honest about what's working. And I think if that we're all honest about what's working, we're going to you know, transcend, and we're going to get to the, you know what I'm saying, the end, or we're going to, you know, ascend together a lot faster. If I'm and not keep being secret about the things that are working, right?
Yeah, and we're here to grow, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to grow and learn, and we never know it all, and there's always more to learn, and there's just a wide world out there of possibilities, too, with just talking about UFOs, the huge universe out there, or the inner universe with the psychedelic taking. That's the inner trip. You go into a whole other dimension. I mean, it's such a wide world, but it's also, like, it's also, there is really good and evil, too, and we take that into consideration, and I think it takes a real eclectic mind to really grow and get the right truth, because a lot of people are stagnant in whatever belief system, whether it's a religion or it's scientism or belief in the system or any sort of belief system.
Yeah.
They really have to get derived from an eclectic bunch of knowledge and really put it together if they really want to grow and become the beings that we're supposed to be. That's what I've always thought. Truth Seeker, I should probably wrap this up. Do you, tell people your website and how to get a hold of you, your podcast, your music, and what, where to go and what's going on with you as far as projects or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, again, thanks for having me on, bro. It's been an honor. But, if people want to check out my work, check out my music, you know, I do esoteric, spiritual, hip hop, everything that we've been talking about, you know, today there's a song about it, you know, so I put all that stuff in my music and try to embody the spiritual experiences that I've had within hip hop. So, but yeah, you can check out my website at truthseeker.com. It's truth, SEEKAH.com. I have the Truth Seeker podcast. I go live twice a week. We have our community forums that we're just birthing, Discord servers, all of that stuff to really create community where people can have people to talk to about this stuff and roll ideas off of, you know, throughout the week, man. So we have a really cool community that we're building. And so, yeah, check out my stuff, truthseeker.com.
Thank you. Well, thanks for coming on the show. And you're always welcome back on. There's a lot to check out, and I admire you for doing hip hop these days. When hip hop doesn't look too good anymore, at least you're carrying it on with, you know, a message and stuff too. Because it's
I'm trying.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're doing good. All right, bro. Well, thanks for coming on, and you're always welcome on again. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, thank you, bro.
Well, I hope you enjoyed having Truth Seeker on. And by request, I had him on. One of you requested that I have him because of the similarities. Similar genres of music that we both cover, and also similar topic that we cover, especially with the ufology and the extraterrestrial phenomenon. And it's nice to have a guest on to kind of reflect back and know that the stuff that I've been covering is definitely a wide world of possibility, and that there is a lot of truth and lies mixed within it. And we're always trying to get to the bottom to see what kind of a picture we can string together. And I'm happy to be able to do that with Truth Seeker, which I thought was a great guest. So if you like this show, you want to help support it, like I said in the intro, this is a small show, very small. I don't have time to do a lot of the things that even a lot of podcasters do. So if you would like to help spread the word, that's the best work you can do, because I don't do much social networking. I do zero, hardly. And so I can't expect this show to grow with that, but at the same time, I don't have time. So if you can help do that, that helps me a lot. And if you can financially donate, donations are happily accepted, whether you want to put a tip in the jar on the website, on the support page, buy an album, get into my hip-hop career, and I think you'll really enjoy a lot of the stuff I put together. I do a lot of freestyle on this show lately, which I'll do one shortly, but as far as everything else, just, you know, if you want to support, go to Patreon, many different ways you can do so, but spread the word, and if you enjoy the show, really dig into the archives. There's
no old shows on Channel Down Radio. There's so much info on there that really could help the missing pieces the world needs. All right, well, thanks everyone. Keep being a warrior, not a warrior.
How absent-minded of me not to invite on Truth Seeker for the freestyle portion of the podcast. I totally forgot. I'm sorry about that, but anyway, this is instrumental by my friend Cumulus, who always made some great instrumentals. I lost touch with Cumulus, but he always did a great job of helping me to paint a picture on canvas, if you know what I mean. Now, if you don't know what I mean, I travel unseen like a submarine. Some see, some don't, because I just be the unseen hope. Maybe people don't understand, they're swinging on a rope. But I just come fully with everything, and I try to be dope. I just try to focus on what most people don't focus on, because they're bogus and gone. And I'm holding this on a phenomenon. This is no song, this is all free. It's all me, it's all things considered. It's all things figured. It's all things in one place. But anyway, I cover different situations and take a taste of different subject matter that you might see on a platter, because it doesn't really matter. But it matters because we talk about UFOs and USOs and anything you want to expose. Then you unfold your thought patterns and what you had fixed in your mind. Tricked in the mind, tricked by the blind, following the blind. You need to unwind, you need to try to find something that's better, like older, like wine. I'm on a little different type of journey because I don't worry. A lot of people like to worry. They get so blurry and stirred in this and turned in this and turned into the abyss and going through things that are so hectic. And they need to really play detective, really investigated, invested in this system that makes them so unique and mundane, and go through the week and going through the pain of 8 to 5 make you feel weak and not able to speak. And people, they are to be sheeple, people with egos walking around thinking they need to be equal. We need to be good, just dissolve the evil, and I try to give the seeds so you can go to sow the seeds to grow. I want you to grow. I want you to know that there's more out there than you ever thought about, ever thought about, ever got caught up in about, because people need to understand that they don't need to live in misery. I like to cover Earth's mysteries and talk about history and talk about misty degrees, live in a misty cave or whatever, go and misbehave. I encourage you to misbehave and live the life that you were meant to engrave in this lifetime. In this lifetime where I don't even write rhymes, I try to take it like this, like a kite line. I'm just going in and flowing and never really knowing as I'm spilling, and I'm just fulfilling whatever thing I do. It's no drill, this is for real, and it's just a kind of a kill. Or is it overkill or overfill or over full flow, the cup full of water falling over? I'm just one to go over like a waterfall. I talk to all y'all so you can feel the same, and I never go through the lame. I just go with the aim, and I try to be like a runaway train and going with no particular subject matter. Here's a platter.